Web Talk is brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your PC from anywhere. GoToMyPC is fast, it's secure, helps you access your PC files and applications remotely from any PC or wireless device. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the radio microphone on the website, and enter promo code FREE to get a 45-day free trial. Go to MyPC.com.
You're with Web Talk at WebTalkRadio.com for the week of November 20th. My name is Rob Greenlee. Thank you for downloading or streaming or even now podcasting us from around the world. We keep you plugged into the latest net trends and some really cool internet software out there.
And for this is Dana Greenlee, and for anybody who maybe is listening to us for the first time because they've traveled to a family's house, because in America it's Thanksgiving week, and maybe they're visiting their resident family geek, and the geek makes them listen to Web Talk Radio, so welcome.
And they're probably not going to be at their computers very much this week, that's for sure.
No, I think they will, because tryptophan, you know, the thing that makes you really sleepy, you just basically can't do anything but sit in front of your computer and kind of dink around.
Well, that or they're going to be hopping on buying Christmas presents early.
We'll cover that.
We're going to talk about that, aren't we?
And other topics we're going to include this week.
Is it possible that one person can actually get 4 million email messages in one day? Stay with us. You're going to find out.
It's a crazy new world. The best and most complete podcast directory. And it's not iPodder.org. Also, is content finally the king?
Dell says, wires be gone. Wi-Fi inkjet printers. Something new on the horizon.
And there's another threat to streaming internet talk radio's future. We'll also climb into our digital mailbag. Gmail. You've heard of Gmail? Well, that's Google's beta invite-only email service that they've announced. This week has a new feature, which is the free iPop access for Gmail users. That's where you can get Gmail forwarded or popped into your Outlook. Later in the show, we'll talk to George Herrick. He's Google's director of Google Ads. He manages the Google Labs beta projects like Gmail. He'll explain the thinking behind this innovative email service, and he'll explain some of the cool new features of Google's Gmail service.
To fix a lot of the things that we think are difficult to do in email, for example, you know, a lot of times you find yourself looking for a message that a friend of yours sent you like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And our interface makes it really easy to find that by putting a search box on top of every one of the pages that we serve, basically. You can look up things very, very quickly. You know, Google's very good at doing search, and that's one of the facilities that we provide. What really happens when you start to do that is that people start to think of email in a different way than they have before.
We'll be hearing more from George later in the show, but I just wanted to quickly say that George Herrick and Google have given Web Talk Radio, and by extension you, a chance for getting Gmail invites sent to you. So definitely come to our website at webtalkradio.com on Thursday this week. That's Thanksgiving and thereafter, and we'll have information on just what to do to send us your contact information, and we will send you a Gmail invite. Definitely recommend it. I live in my Gmail, and you will love it too. And right now, you can only get it via invitations. Rob, some interesting news, and you alluded to this first story. What is the deal with the 4 million emails a day?
Well, I think most people could probably guess it might be a real popular geek online, but it's Bill Gates from Microsoft.
Bill at Microsoft.com. Is that his email address?
I think so.
Well, you know, he's not going to actually have to read all those and delete all those, but he gets 4 million a day.
Well, he founded the company, and I'm sure that he was able to get Bill at Microsoft.com because there wasn't anybody else around to take it from him, right?
Yeah. Right.
So that's been around for, almost 30 years now that Microsoft's been around, and it's safe to say he's the most spammed man in the world. So you think he'd have a unique perspective on trying to fight spam. What do you think?
He has a team of people. Yeah, his way of doing it. I wish I could afford it. Just have a team of people to sort and triage my email. That's what happens with
Bill. That's right. I want to hire a team just to manage my email. That'd be kind of a nice thing, wouldn't it?
Okay, Rob. Podcast is popping up in our news every single week because you're Mr. Podcast.
Well, it's a phenomenon that's moving forward. There's some interesting websites that are starting to come from this whole phenomenon.
Well, there's one you've been gabbing about all week long.
It's called Podcast Alley at podcastalley.com. And it's really, I think, the best and, well, it is the largest podcast directory out there. It's got about 411 podcasts as of this recording. I'm looking at the website right now.
So it's like a portal.
Flat screen.
It just is a portal with a bunch of different podcasts all in one spot. And how is that different from iPodder.org?
Well, it's much more organized in how it presents the content. It's based more on how popular the podcast is, what the listeners think of it. There's actually, you can vote for like 5 stars or 3 stars or how good you think the podcast is. It also has a comment area that people can post comments about the particular show. You can actually click to go to the website. And I've heard rumors that he's going to add like a 30-second sampling link off of this page for every one of the podcasts.
Now, for those people that, you know, like just don't get the difference between a podcast and just talk radio or something, what is it?
It's basically a downloadable MP3 file that's passed through the RSS distribution system that's being used by a lot of the weblogs out there to distribute content.
It's really the method that's changed.
Yeah.
But it's what we've been doing for 7 years.
We've been offering downloads for years, and that's essentially, it just makes it easier to get it into your mobile player and mobile device.
Speaking of podcasts and content and talking, you know, we've always heard this since 96, I think. Again, Mr. Bill Gates said, he had an article, content is king. That's become the buzzword, right?
Well, and content has always been king. It's just that it hasn't always been that way online.
Well, and has it changed? Is that what you're trying to propose?
Well, story? There's been a recent study that's come out here this past month that says people spend about 40% of their time viewing content now. And that's in contrast to a year ago when people were only spending about 35% of their time online viewing content.
As opposed
or reading
to what?
Content.
Reading content as opposed to shopping or something.
To actually communicating, like writing an email, instant messenger, all those kind of things, which is primarily what the driver was for the early days of the internet and the web was to facilitate communications. But it seems to be shifting more now towards
CNN and Yahoo.
Consuming content because of broadband. Then people are watching videos or listening to web talk radio. And
I'm going to Boston Legal and watching the
videos. That's right.
So
it's being used more as a content medium. And the whole communications part is still an important part. It's still right up there. It's like 39%. And people, about 15%, 16% are doing commerce online, and about 4% are doing search. So search is usually a really quick activity. You just go in, you do a search, and you get out, and you go to content. So it's people aren't spending a lot of time searching, but it's an important part to finding content.
Okay, we're going to bombard you with some more statistics. This is like holiday shopping season.
Yes, it is.
For those
it's
that shop
time of the year.
For Christmas presents online. So this is our focus, online Christmas shopping. Well, the Claria Corporation Feedback Research did a study for Christmas shopping, and they said that 52% of those that are already going to be shopping online for Christmas will be shopping the 30 days before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, gentlemen, start your
engines
modems?
Right away. Modems,
no, no, no.
Well.
No modems.
Okay.
It's an always-on situation, so
that's
irrelevant.
True. That's true. Well, what's been trending here is that over the last couple of years, people have learned that if they wait too long to buy stuff online, that it gets there late. So there's been a trend toward people actually doing a little early shopping online, and that's progressively getting further out.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing. And
I remember working at Amazon during the holiday season.
And everybody wanted to do it at the last minute.
'99, and it was like all hands at the distribution center.
That's
true. Don't matter what your job is, what your job title is. You're going down there and you're wrapping those books up for them.
That's right. It's probably a little bit more organized now, I would think. But about 28% plan on finishing their holiday shopping online between 8 and 14 days. So that number is actually declining over time compared to about 16% of offline shoppers who do the same thing. So, but 16% of offline is a whole lot larger number than 28% of the online shoppers. Mm. So,
hey, peek into our household. Was it night before last? I was working at my computer journaling, and all of a sudden I heard from Rob's end of the house, woohoo, woohoo. What were you screaming about? It had something to do with Wi-Fi.
Oh, yes. Dell has finally come out with a printer now, and I know this is a little bit on the geeky side, but Dana and I have always been excited about the potential of having our computers be kind of wireless. I mean, without physical wires, because our desks and stuff are always so cluttered underneath the counter with all the wires that we have going to the different stuff that we have plugged in. So we've always been looking forward to the time when we could get rid of those wires so we can actually make our desks look
well. Everything's
great.
Been wireless. I mean, the mouse, the keyboard, but you know, and the printer. I never want that printer right next to my computer. I really don't print out that much, but they always have these short little wires, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to get these extensions and all this kind of
stuff. And then they cost $30. Anyway, wireless, thanks to Dell.
You can put it in the closet if you want. You can actually hide that printer if you want.
Yeah, the old ugly printer.
Because it's Wi-Fi, so you can put it anywhere if you want. Maybe you want to put it in the kitchen. You want to put it in the bathroom, maybe. Who knows, or the bedroom? No, I don't think so.
We have some more news on streaming media and I guess how it might affect streaming talk. We don't want it to affect streaming talk. We want it to affect some streaming music,
well,
perhaps.
Well, what's going on here is that there's been a lot of software come out, and we've had topics discussed on our show in this regard, is the software that actually records streaming. And, you know, like Replay Radio and those kind of software programs are starting to get cracked down on from the music industry. They're trying to make sure that people aren't able to record really high bit rate, almost HD quality music off of the airwaves or off of the internet, because they're thinking that it's infringing on copyright and all that stuff as the bandwidth increases, as the quality increases, because then it becomes more like a CD. But my concern is that endeavor of them fighting that could affect talk radio as well. Because
so talk radio should be separated out from whatever legislation they're working on.
Yeah, they should not even include talk radio, because it's not as big of a copyright issue.
Well, we have an email from Ian Gonsoli. Is that correct? Why don't you fill us in? He had some thoughts on a similar subject.
Well, why don't we say all the good stuff he had to say about us first?
He says, great folks. Great show, folks. Absolutely love it. I have been downloading, listening to your show for some time now and thoroughly enjoy it. Your show is the place to hear news about the internet. Ooh, Ian.
Boy, he should do our intros.
I like it. He wanted to comment on a listener wagging her finger at us for discussing the outcome of the election on our show. He says, I'm completely livid that she would not do that, because she was actually very nice to
us. Yeah, she was. She was.
But thank you. I appreciate that. He says he's livid that she would think that it was her duty to warn you against voicing your disappointment with the way the election went. How dare she? You're fully within your rights to share your thoughts. Oh, I like Ian. and your feelings on the outcome of the election. And I...
Well, and she has
election.
Well, and she has the right to view her opinion too. So that's why we're reading this email. So we're trying to give equal time.
Yeah.
To everybody.
Ooh, the thought police. He goes on. The thought police threat.
Oh.
It's deplorable and should be ignored. Oh, yes. Go ahead, Rob. Why don't you expand on what Ian had to say beyond the politics? Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. This is a terrific email. But later on the email, he talks about how he's such a huge fan of time shifting of radio content. And that gets back to what we were just talking about before. And he especially likes it for news. And he really likes the fact that we offer a downloadable MP3 format rather than just a streaming media format that's typically done on a lot of radio shows out there. But he was also commenting about the emergence of independent and progressive media broadcasting on the web. And he's given a couple of URLs that are probably good for you to go check out if you want to find some independent media sources out there. And one is democracynow.org and Free Speech Radio News, and that's www.fsrn.org, and Making Contact at www.radioproject.org. That's just to name a few of those. But
this is great. I'm going to look all these up.
Yeah, but this is really cool, and he thinks that it's terrific that there's alternative news sources like our show available for person to download, because he thinks that a lot of the broadcast radio folks are not doing anybody any favors.
We were just watching the other night. Was watching Howard Stern on Letterman.
Oh yeah,
And he was not there to be funny. He was there to just blast into the corporate American radio situation.
Talk about stirring the pot. Howard Stern's really going.
He was livid, and he was all serious this, serious that. You know, the satellite radio.
Very serious. We've actually recently talked to Sirius Radio about our show being on there, and who knows? We're going to keep after him and see if we get there.
That's right. Hey, a lot of people support our show besides Ian. Thank you very much, Ian. And we want to mention them right now. Sponsorship to WebTalk Guys this week.
go to mypc.com. They're a new advertiser on the show, and they're a great way to get connected and have access to your home PC applications and files from your work PC or a laptop on the road from anywhere. This is a web-based application that allows you to get into your work PC or your home PC from anywhere.
In other words, you can goof off more at work than you do your home stuff at work.
Exactly. And PC World this past summer gave GoToMyPC.com an award for the best remote access software for the second consecutive year.
Well, they're like granddaddies of the genre.
They are. Yeah. They're a really reliable service. And you can get a 40-day free trial by going to GoToMyPC.com and clicking on the home page radio microphone that's right on the front page there, and then go to that page and type in the promo code FREE, and you can actually get a 45-day trial.
Also want to thank InfoCreek.com. They're a low-cost website design firm, and they help design the site you're probably looking at if you go to WebTalkRadio.com. So check them out if you want a good website. Really nice little flash in there. Stay connected. Up next, we're going to be speaking with George Herrick. He's Google's director of Google X, and he's managed the Google Labs beta projects like Gmail. So if you want to hear all about Gmail and the neat service and the new features, stay connected.
This is Web Talk Radio.
Tired of working late nights at the office? The solution is simple. Go to MyPC, the easiest way to access your PC from anywhere, all over the internet. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and your office PC appears in front of you just as if you were there. You gotta try it. It's amazing. For a limited time, you can try it free for up to 45 days. For this special offer, visit www.GoToMyPC.com, click the radio microphone, and enter promo code FREE. So leave work early and finish from home with GoToMyPC. Try it free today.
You're back with Web Talk Radio at WebTalkRadio.com and WebTalkGuys.com. And my name is Rob Greenlee, and I'm joined in here again by Dana Greenlee.
Well, if you all know Gmail, that's Google's new free email service that they have as a beta, is an invite-only email service, and they're breaking new ground every day since it's been out. Privacy experts are actually a little concerned about the contextual link ads that are in Gmail, but today, we're lucky enough to have someone to tell us all about the new feature, including the pop access. That's been a very hotly requested feature that's now been added.
On the line right now, we have George Herrick, who is Google's director of Googlets, who manages the Gmail service at Google. And he's going to explain the thinking behind this innovative email service and explain some of the cool new features at Google's Gmail service that have been kind of hidden from view for many up till now. George, thanks for taking the time to join us on the line.
Thanks, Rob.
First of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about your role at Google and your responsibilities?
Sure. I'm the director of Googlet, which is not the rock and roll band you expect.
Tell us all about that.
It's a group of people who work on making little Googles within Google. So, you know, Google is a very innovative company, and we like to start things, and we like to innovate in the world. So the idea is to form an environment where groups of people can act a lot like Google did, you know, a few years ago, and form new products and really go out and try to change the world in the same way that Google did.
Well, and there's a lot of them. If you go to, like, the lab area, you can see. I mean, probably a lot of those are your children, right?
Yeah, Google Labs is a really great thing. You know, you people can go there. It's, you know, labs.google.com, and they can see a lot of the things that our engineers are working on. We really like to get a lot of things out in front of users and see how people react to them, because we have a very innovative but also a very practical bent as a company. You know, mm-hmm. We like to make things that work
sure. And
work for lots of people. So Labs has been really, really great.
Yeah, well, let's move on and talk about Gmail a little bit. Why don't you run through to us what Gmail is? I'm sure that there's a certain amount of our listeners that are not familiar with Gmail, since it is kind of an exclusive club right now. But why don't you run through kind of what the bigger vision of it is?
Sure. So, you know, the idea behind Gmail is to basically make an email and communications facility for people that just works. So in the broadest sense, we just want to fix a lot of the problems that people have with email and communications, and that's how we sort of approached the problem when we started out. And I think what it is right now is there's a website, you know, gmail.com, where you can go and receive basically the equivalent of webmail. So it's similar in some ways to, you know, Yahoo Mail or Hotmail, and you can get an address at gmail.com, and you'll get access to our interface for reading mail. Now, what we've gone ahead and done is we've tried to fix a lot of the things that we think are difficult to do in email. For example, you know, a lot of times you find yourself looking for a message that a friend of yours sent you like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And our interface makes it really easy to find that by putting a search box on top of every one of the pages that we serve, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look up things very, very quickly. You know, Google's very good at doing search, and that's one of the facilities that we provide. What really happens when you start to do that is that people start to think of email in a different way than they have before, where you don't have to spend as much time, you know, organizing your mail, foldering it, and working on it. And so what ends up is it's just a much more pleasant experience because you spend maybe, you know, 20 to 30% of the time that you would normally reading your mail, but you get just as much information out of it. And that idea of, like, getting a lot out of working with your mail and more being in control of your mail rather than your mail program controlling you is what we've gone for. So we have a lot of features that really back that up. For example,
list some of those features.
Yeah, let me tell you like some of the really interesting things that we do. For example, when you compose a mail to somebody, a lot of time is spent like trying to remember what their email address is and so on. But, you know, Outlook and other programs on the client side have had that for years where webmail hasn't. And, of course, you know, webmail provides you the advantage of accessing your mail from anywhere. So we've gone ahead and we've put auto-completion, for example, inside the compose. And so, you know, you just start typing the name of your friend, and it'll sort of figure out who you mail most often with that name and put that email on top. It organizes things for you. Another really big thing that we do in Gmail that's very different than other email programs is a conversation view of your messages. So you could go back and forth with your friend, you know, like organizing where to go for dinner, for example. And then that could go 5 or 6 messages, and you're, you know, maybe the phone number for the place is in one message and the address is in another one. And now you're just lost because you have to find all these messages together. What Gmail does is we keep track of what we think is a conversation between a group of people, and we show you the entire conversation at once. And it makes it really easy to follow really long discussions between groups of people.
What is the actual basis for that threading that you guys do?
It's actually a lot of things that are the basis of threading. One of the main things is the subject of the email going back and forth. The other one is the participants in the discussion. But there are a few other things like, you know, time, which may affect it, and things like that.
In a way, that's sort of like a pre-search search because you don't have to
look for a search. You know how, like, when you're looking at something, there's often other information you want to be right there next to you? Well, we figured when you're looking at an email, what really you want next to it is all the other emails that are about the same topic that you've had with the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other things that you might want next to you as well, but this is sort of the first thing that we've gone out and said, well, we're going to sort of try to guess what the user would want there and put it on that screen.
Oh, and the other thing I find just infinitely helpful, because I live in my Gmail, is that you have to the right of each, I guess, subject line, how long ago? 1 minute ago, 6 days
ago?
Yeah.
So, we use the mail system a lot internally, and we figured out that when you look at dates and times, people are sort of lost a little because they don't exactly know, like, when now is with the dates and times. So when the dates and times are nearby, we put how recently they happened in various places in the interface.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that gives you sort of a recency. Like, it's better really to know that this was mailed, like, 10 minutes ago rather than, well, whatever time it is now, which I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Last 10 minutes.
What feature would you say is probably the most popular?
It's hard to tell because you ask a lot of people why they like Gmail, and I think they have trouble coming up with one feature, but they come up with this sort of beaming smile that they're really happy about it. We spent, like, just weeks arguing and talking out each one of these things to try to make every one of them work. I could tell you, like, a number of other things that people like. For example, we've made an interface that's using JavaScript that makes it instantaneous to pop back and forth between your messages and your inbox.
Oh, that's why it seems almost, like, flashy, you know? Wow.
So, in fact, it doesn't even really do the round-trip normal HTTP request to the server that, you know, a lot of other webmail requires. And so it's really instant
Go ahead. Well, and just along those lines, like, I'll have, I just looked and I have like 86 threads or entries, I guess, under that particular thread.
Yeah.
And all I have to do is click somewhere in there. I see like a, basically a list of tabs almost. I just click it and it just opens them all up. And it's very gratifying. You know, I've got everything in a nice row, but it's instantaneous, like you said.
Yeah, and that's because that's another one of the things that happens with the JavaScript interface that happens a lot locally. It's a lot of work to make that work really well. And we spent a lot of work on it because we feel that there's a lot of things that make you really, really happy with email. And like lightness and speed of the interface are one of them. And we focused a lot on that. So the whole idea is you don't spend, you know, 7 hours to read your mail if you can read it in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You can spend 7 hours, you know, visiting your family or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, certainly it seems like you guys are almost creating like an IM type of experience with email.
You know, a lot of our conversation view was actually inspired by some of the different modes of communication that you get out of instant messaging.
Yeah.
It's a lot of back and forth. And, you know, I think there is a lot of there's a lot of similarities between mailing someone quickly and instant messaging.
George, did your group of Googleettes kind of sit down and kind of work out all of this before it launched in, what was it, February, March? I can't remember. Or has this been evolving every month, something new?
Well, you know, we've been actually working pretty hard at adding features to Gmail since the launch. So there's a number of things that we've wanted to do, and we said publicly even when we launched. And recently, in the past few weeks, we've been releasing things like we released a better address book. We released free forwarding and free POP3 access.
POP3, yeah, that's terrific.
So that, yeah, so you guys can access it. You know, webmail is not really, shouldn't really be the end goal of development for something that does email.
Mm-hmm.
It should really be, you want to make it easy for people to communicate with each other. And I think a lot of other webmails really fail because they have no offline access story. You know, if I'm on a train that's like a 12-hour train ride or something like that, I want to be able to read my mail and mail people. And I think, you know, we recognize that that's not something that's served by webmail. So we went out and we decided to do something which was offer POP3 access for free so that people could get access to their communication. I just want to say one thing. I think this is a really important point, which is, you know, the Google Ads team, we're product managers, so we help define a lot of the features on the product.
Mm-hmm.
But really, there's a large team of engineers that does all of the work on Gmail and that has equal sort of call in what the features are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do 90 to 95% of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you know, we should be careful with people who design products. Doing the JavaScript interface, figuring out how to do autocomplete and these things is sort of a really amazing achievement.
Oh, it is.
And I just, you know, wanted to say that a lot of people out there work and don't get recognition for what they do.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to give them recognition here.
Oh, I applaud them.
That's
right
terrific.
Now. Thank you, engineers at Google Ads. We're in the middle of a conversation with George Herrick. He's the director of Google Ads over at Google.com. He's talking about Gmail, and he has a lot more to say. Hang in there.
This is Web Talk Radio.
Tired of working late nights at the office? The solution is simple. Go to MyPC, the easiest way to access your PC from anywhere all over the internet. Simply log on to gotomypc.com and your office PC appears in front of you just as if you were there. You gotta try it. It's amazing. For a limited time, you can try it free for up to 45 days. For this special offer, visit www.gotomypc.com, click the radio microphone, and enter promo code FREE. So leave work early and finish from home with GoToMyPC. Try it free today.
Welcome back to Web Talk Radio, webtalkradio.com. I'm Rob Greenlee.
And this is Dana. And joining us, rounding out this little trifecta, is George Herrick from Google. He's director of Google Ads, and he's telling us all about Gmail. I just love, I just have to say one thing, because you mentioned beaming, and I started beaming, because a few months ago, maybe longer than that, you launched that little et that was the notifier.
Yeah.
And thank God.
Yeah, that's a great little program.
Otherwise,
I love that.
You don't know when you're getting those emails in a
web-based. Yeah, the notifier is really nice.
Oh, that is, to whoever, kiss the guy, the engineer, that put that one together.
Yeah, exactly.
I will thank the engineer instead of kissing them.
That's right.
Okay.
I know you guys, I think I saw that you were working on maybe eventually, and correct me if I'm wrong, being able to send via HTML email. Is that right? Because right now it's text.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I think, you know, is a pretty nice feature, and we're working on something like that.
Good.
So you guys working on the possibility of being able to support maybe outside email POP accounts, or is that something on the horizon?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting idea. I think that's certainly part of what we're going for. One of the things that we believe in, basically, is that you should have access to your mail sort of wherever you are.
Sure.
It's hard to describe this, but it's why we've done stuff like let people forward out of Gmail. It's why we've let people POP out of Gmail. I think that it would be a great idea to let people POP into Gmail as well sometime in the future.
Certainly, it's a central depository of your email,
yeah.
and wherever you pick it up isn't really important as long as it's stored somewhere, I would
think. There are a lot of markets and communications that are much more mature than email that I think are actually sort of run better in some instances. Mm-hmm. For example, if you look at what happened, with cell phone number portability, it's not really a reasonable thing to have an email provider sort of keep you on their system by just owning your name and then slowly do things to you because you're sort of captive.
Yeah.
And I think cell phone portabilities really capture that. There have been, laws that have helped protect consumers in that area. And there isn't an equivalent thing for email, really. On our part, we intend to do whatever we can to let people get access to their mail. And so we have gone out on a limb and provided forwarding in POP3. So this helps you do several things. It gives you a backup of your own mail so you always have it yourself. This is really important to you. I mean, we run, the best that we can in terms of keeping your information. But if there's like an earthquake in California floats out into the sea and all of our other data centers do as well, you have your own mail.
Sure.
And you have access to it. This is something that we really believe in. So we are sort of going out on a limb and starting to do a bunch of features for free that give access to your mail, like POP3 and forwarding. And I think the distinction of pay versus not pay is sort of, it's only really a minor part of it, because when you think about it, there are also lots of people who don't have credit cards all over the world and can't really pay very easily.
Sure.
So it's not simply a matter of reducing the price from, $20 to zero. It's just saying that this is an integral part of your mail. We're not going to just keep your mail because we have it. We're going to give you access to it.
Sure. Yeah, one other feature of it that really jumped out at me when I first started to use it is the whole mindset that it's difficult to actually delete email in Gmail. And was that done on purpose? I mean, from the standpoint, and I know when I think of my inbox, I have like 1,100 emails in my inbox on my computer, and it is a pain and very time-consuming to actually delete emails. Was that done intentionally, you guys?
No, I mean, what we did is, We didn't expose the delete functionality as a link you could click on right away.
Yeah.
It's just behind a drop-down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was partially because we were introducing this new notion of archiving, which is that we think that, a lot of your mail is really valuable over the long term, and that a lot of people's instincts to delete are actually born by having, account limits like 2 megabytes or 4 megabytes on webmail. So just to sort of balance that out, we decided to make archiving like a more central feature because we think it's more useful for users to keep their mail. I mean, is this kind of the situation where, like in the 1950s and the 1960s, if you wanted to program a computer, you would like get a punch card, you would wait in line for 40 minutes, and you would insert your punch card into the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens when computers are sort of not very advanced. You work for the computer as opposed to it working for you.
I agree.
And so, people would spend a lot of time deleting and figuring out, am I running out of space and so on, and it's because of the limitations of the architecture.
Mm-hmm.
But, really, I don't want to spend time really even thinking about what to do with these emails. The ability exists for people to provide this kind of space, which I think we've shown, and I think, you can look at other people and look at what the amount of space that they're providing you now and know they always had this capability.
Sure.
So this is just something we feel makes it easier for users, in that we just don't want people to think about what to do with their mail.
1 gig is a lot of email.
It is a lot of email.
Well, yeah, and I just wanted to point that out. You guys were the first, maybe one of the few still, that are offering such a huge amount, 1 gig. That was like hitting the headlines when that came out.
I think you really, you have to think about the structure of, how businesses work, and I think competition is obviously very good in markets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty clear that we helped a lot by introducing competition in an area where people were offering you 2 megabytes and 4 megabytes and then charging you money to get 10 and 20. And that's one of the things we thought was really, really wrong with email. And that's one of the things we wanted to address.
Mm-hmm. Well, something I want to address is, I don't know how much you can tell us, but Gmail is still sort of a by invitation only, and those invitations are still somewhat generously allotted out. You have six, or sometimes you'll get a little renewal of ones you can invite your friends.
Yeah.
What's the thinking behind that, and will that ever change?
We're really testing the system in various ways, and we feel that there's a lot of features we want to provide before we go out of testing. There's also the actual mechanics of running an email system, which is pretty challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to have a mechanism of growing the number of people slowly and controllably that are using the system. And the invitation seemed like a good idea, just a way to do that.
How many do you think you have as subscribers, or can you mention that?
We have had very, very positive response through our beta. We have, lots of people blogging about it. Mm-hmm. We have people who are excited to use it. So we're pretty excited about the response, but I can't really talk exactly about the figures until we're ready for sort of a wider release.
Sure.
Why don't you talk a little bit about, just from what you've picked up, the sort of the frenzy of people needing invites? For a while, eBay was involved.
People were actually selling. Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool when you have, a free product that people are willing to pay money for.
Yeah,
I was pretty excited about that. But I think, I think we have, with the set of things that we've done, we've thought a lot about our users. We really want to do what's right for people who are using our email product. And, one of the reasons to not, for example, grow the service quickly is we want to keep Gmail fast as we scale it up for our users. So it's not a situation where you use it now, then you switch all your mail to it, then it degrades as the service grows.
Mm-hmm.
We really intend this to be a service where all the time you're using it, you're just excited to use Gmail as much as you are, in the first week. And, that's some of the stuff that we have to balance out with growing the service.
I think if you put, are you involved in ORCID, or is that completely not an it thing?
I'm involved a little bit, but there's another set of people who work on that right now.
Well, you rule. I put Gmail over ORCID, as far as it has long-lasting attraction, that's for sure.
Well, I think that thank you, Gmail is really great. ORCID is a really good product, but it's also in a new space, the social networking space. So I think that'll take time for people to sort of adjust to exactly how that works.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever see the Gmail service getting integrated in with an ORCID?
I think it depends. I think, we're pretty focused on what would make this really, really good email and really, really good communications.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to test things out, and whatever we feel will make it better, we'll do. To the extent that that means integrating with other products or not, the only thing that matters to us is the experience of Gmail users.
I don't know if anybody else has had this concern. So, if you could just answer it for me at least.
Okay.
Wonderful search application right there in your Gmail. And also, Google is the king of search. But whenever I search for something, am I sort of putting some information out there that Google might mine and know a little bit about me,
Are you talking about Google.com or in Gmail?
No, I'm sorry, in Gmail. So, I'm doing a search in my Gmail for sex. Do I really want Google to know I'm searching for sex in my email?
I'm assuming when you search for sex in your email that you're expecting that there will be some messages with that in your email.
That's
already
probably true, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I think that a lot of email providers, people are concerned about sort of information that you get out of interaction with various services, like the various email services. But the vast majority of the information they actually sort of have about you is your actual email.
Mm-hmm.
So because of the nature of providing this service, everyone who provides webmail service has access to everything that's written to you and everything that you've written.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true.
In addition to that, and I think because of the magnitude of that, it's the amount of attention that we, and I'm assuming other people, pay to your privacy is much higher than you would if the only thing we cared about was what you were searching for in your email. This is really, really important stuff. And it's something that we have, safeguards to not let, people who don't even need access to it from within Google access it, and to keep it private.
Mm-hmm.
This is, one of the most important things people can do to safeguard your information, and we consider it of the utmost importance to do so.
That's reassuring. Thank you. That's George Herrick talking about Gmail. He's director of Googlets at google.com. More with George in a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Radio. I find it kind of funny.
Tired of working late nights at the office? The solution is simple. Go to MyPC, the easiest way to access your PC from anywhere all over the internet. Simply log on to gotomypc.com and your office PC appears in front of you just as if you were there. You gotta try it. It's amazing. For a limited time, you can try it free for up to 45 days. For this special offer, visit www.gotomypc.com, click the radio microphone, and enter promo code FREE. So leave work early and finish from home with GoToMyPC. Try it free today.
You're back with Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee's in here as well.
Thanks, and joining us is, again, George Herrick. He's on the phone with us from Google headquarters in California, talking about Gmail.
Yeah, if you could run through for us a little bit what the basis of the ad system that you have in there, the sponsor links, and how you guys base the ads that are delivered there. Is it just based on a particular keyword that may be in the email that's triggering that ad? Is that
it's,
the same
it's
model?
Essentially that. It's slightly more complicated, but if you think about it, if you see, for example, if an email contains, you know, the word Tahiti, then that's a pretty good sign that you may be interested in going to Tahiti.
In travel or something.
Yeah, in travel.
Sure.
And that may be a good time to actually point you to a website where you can go to Tahiti. It's kind of the same thing with the conversation view, where you present information that the user might want to see next.
Mm-hmm.
So we've tried to make our advertising, you know, on Google.com, a lot of people, when we started Google, basically said, you know, why don't you just run banner ads? And that was a general suggestion from business people we talked to.
Sure.
And our answer is, we don't want to do stuff that actually harms the user interaction or doesn't fall into something that the user might do naturally. So we spent a lot of time working on the keyword-based ads on Google because we feel they're actually useful to people.
Yeah.
And we sort of went out on a limb there and did something that really changed the entire advertising industry. We feel that the banner ads that are presented in email, the flashy stuff that jumps at you, it takes up your screen.
It's very annoying.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
And it's just not relevant to what you're doing. At the same time, you know, we had looked at providing related information to what you're doing all the time. And initially, you know, we'd looked at it like, well, what web pages might you want to go to after reading this email?
Sure.
And so we looked at that and we're like, oh, you might want to go to these places. And so we saw an opportunity there also to provide sponsored information that would be stuff that you would want to go to and that would also help serve you in some way. And, you know, we've had notices of people, for example, who have bought products and then saw ads for where the product could be delivered cheaper and, like, that hopefully helped them. Mm-hmm. We've had things where people have had, you know, they've been talking about places to go and they get advertisements where to go and they find good deals.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really excited to do that type of advertising versus intrusive and untargeted advertising. And we really think of the related information as a service, and we hope to do more of that in the future, like more information as a service to you.
So do you see the Gmail service remaining a free service, or do you see at some point in the future that ad-supported service that's free goes over to more of a paid model where the user has a choice between getting ads or not getting ads?
We're not against paid models for anything. And certainly a lot of people have very good reasons to charge for their services on the internet.
Sure.
But the idea behind Gmail is, you know, free email and communications.
Mm-hmm.
And so the vast majority of the stuff that we will do will remain free for as long as we can.
As you can, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and it's hard to promise stuff about the future.
Oh, yeah.
But certainly I find it difficult to believe that we wouldn't take what we have free now and keep it free. So I anticipate, and we have no plans to change that at this point, that what is free now will remain so.
So with so much storage within the Gmail system that you guys have right now, do you ever see that storage being used for other things other than email?
There's applications out there that store your files on Gmail and use it for all kinds of purposes. We're really not focused on that because the interface that you want to store files and things like that is really different than the interface that you have in Gmail.
Yeah.
We don't think it's exactly the right mix to to really focus on that?
There could be an opportunity of, if the infrastructure of the internet would support larger attachments to emails, that you could drop in things like that in that way into your email. But it, you know, I think 2 megs is pretty much the standard maximum for most attachments.
Yeah, I think we allow attachment sizes of 10 megs.
10 megs,
Yeah, per message. Well, certainly, you know, photos get delivered over email more than in any other way. And I would bet that, you know, most people have most of their photographs in their email if they use an email provider that allows them to store that much space. And that's one of our use cases that we were thinking of for why you might want, you know, 1,000 megabytes.
Well, that makes sense.
Are you aware of anybody that's come close?
Or gone over?
it's always fun to see more and more press releases by people who are slowly approaching giving people 1,000 megabytes of space.
Do you actually see that number increasing over time?
I think that as computers get faster and have more capacity, we would always want to provide the very best experience that we can to our users.
Sure.
And when we feel we can provide more space, we will do so.
One thing I wanted to ask you in the last couple minutes is about the format of feeds and the RSS standard. Do you guys see yourselves supporting any kind of a derivative of RSS feeds within your Gmail system?
Possibly. I think that's an interesting idea. We'd have to figure out whether the interface was sort of appropriate for that.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of feed readers out there that do a fairly good job, and it might have an interesting interaction.
Yeah, because it seems like that there could be a way to actually set up where the RSS standard could be used as like almost like a private line to your contacts almost.
I think RSS is a really interesting standard for many things, actually, and it's certainly something that we will take a look at. Yeah, now, I don't know if you guys know or we even publicize it that much, but there's already an Atom feed to your Gmail.
That's true.
Boxes, so you can already read your email integrated with your feed reader right now.
Oh, okay.
And so that's one of the things that we've looked at so far.
Okay.
I just want to ask one last question that's kind of unrelated to Gmail, but of course Google's been sort of in the news with the whole IPO and such.
Yeah.
How has your day changed, or has it changed, in what you do when you first come into the office and stuff since being more of a public company now? You still do the same thing.
You know, honestly, most of the people that I know, their day hasn't changed that much. I mean, if you're pretty excited about what you work on and you get to do stuff that changes how people live all over the world and you believe that, you know, you have this mission to make things better and accessible to people, there's very little about, you know, like money that actually changes your life. Now, I'm sure there are some people to whom that's not the case, but the vast majority of the people I see here, and certainly my day, has actually not changed at all.
And the freedom to do those wild ideas, that hasn't changed with more people with say-so in what you do?
Some people, I would guess, yeah. For example, I really went crazy. I activated one-click shopping on Amazon, and I bought like a few books faster than I would have.
Okay. That's interesting.
I know, it's pretty exciting.
You don't have to think about it anymore.
No, well, you know, what really excites me actually is like having a lot of people use our product and also being able to use Gmail now for my own personal mail.
Sure.
That made me very happy.
What did you actually do before you started working at Google?
I used to work for Silicon Graphics.
Okay. Sure.
It's a pretty exciting company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, George.
Yeah, thank you so much
for your time.
I loved hearing all about Gmail. I'm a huge fan, so that's great.
That was really great. I'm glad you guys like it. We hope to make it better next few weeks as well.
Well, it's getting better all the time. We're real happy with it.
That's great.
And certainly, you know, if you guys have a big announcement coming out, just let us know and we'll get you back on and you can tell all our listeners about it.
Well, thanks so much for your time, guys.
All right. Thank you, George.
Okay.
You've been listening to George Herrick. He's from Google.com down in California. He's been talking about Gmail. He's the director of Googlets. George Herrick and Google have given Web Talk Radio, and by extension you, a chance for getting Gmail invites sent to you. So definitely come to our website at WebTalkRadio.com on Thursday this week. That's Thanksgiving and thereafter. And we'll have information on just what to do to send us your contact information, and we will send you a Gmail invite. Definitely recommend it. I live in my Gmail, and you will love it too. And right now, you can only get it via invitations. Thanks so much for listening to us today. We've run out of time for our show this week.
Yeah, thank you for letting us into your lives and your ears for the last hour, and we look forward to having you back listening next week. In the meantime, go check out our website at webtalkradio.com and check out some of our archives and some of our news articles, and maybe even make a comment on one of the blog posts in there. We'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.